Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Welcome to another episode of Doing Living Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Apostolson, your co-host, Doing the Christian Living. Joining me as always is Dawn, my wife. Dawn, how are you tonight?
Hi, Elliot. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hopefully we're going to do a little bit better with our recording capabilities this week, and I'll pay more attention to the studio control panel.
I'll do just fine.
Yeah, we had a wonderful conversation last week. We apologize for the confusion with the show. You may know for some of you that we did not record the majority of it. We did get Dawn's new song out there, fortunately, and as the error was discovered, we did post up a solo conversation, if you will, a conversation with myself regarding our text, and hopefully you still had a chance to review that and thought that might have been helpful to you. So we apologize for our little error, but promise that we wouldn't have the same error twice in a row. So here we are this evening, ready to go. And we're going to be working our way in Paul's letter to Timothy, his first letter to Timothy. And before we get into that, Dawn, anything you want to say to our viewers?
I was just going to say that considering that we're going to be talking about the law, we thought that the song called We Are the Body would be very appropriate. It talks a lot about if we are here for Christ, why aren't we allowing Christ to work through us? And so very appropriate.
Very appropriate. And we're going to get into that in a second. We do want to, again, thank you for watching over this ministry and participating in it through the newsletter. And if you're not receiving that, again, drop us an email at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. Our chat room is operational at this point in time when we're up and running. Like us on Facebook and follow us at Twitter. So we're going to get into this tonight, and first let's go into the song, We Are the Body, sung by Dawn.
The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words?
There is a way.
a beautiful song, and we'll try to join in with that theme as we go through the conversation this day. As we get into Paul's letter to Timothy, we believe Paul's writing to Timothy, who is currently in Ephesus, and he's giving instruction about the church and understanding the difference where people have been utilizing the law as a way to not just control people, but to direct their lives not in a godly way. And this is kind of the context in which we're going to be going into. So, Dawn, if you want to read.
I do, but did you say that Paul was writing to Timothy?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sense of all these different books. Okay, so this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully.
So
that's all you gave me to
the riddle, huh? What do you think, Dawn?
I don't know what I think. I think it'll be interesting to see where you take this, because that's not much to work with.
Some of the different translations use the word properly instead of lawfully. I'm not sure of the original text in Greek and in its translation, but this is where we're at. It's the issue of we have the law is good. We know the law is good. The law is given to us by God, but it's also to be understood to be used for godly purposes. And where Paul is going with this, people have been using the law to, if you will, take advantage of and to supersede in God's judgment. God gave us the law, but God gave us the law to use it in a godly way, in a way that would bring people to God. So the laws we discussed last week, or I discussed last week, and maybe that's what you heard. We discussed it. It's a framework and understanding what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But also you have to overlay that the issue of wisdom and understanding of God's will and God's desire. So the purpose of the framework is to understand where God wants you to be, but not to be in such a way that you're demonized or crucified, if you will, not literally, but verbally, and or treatment and judgment that would draw you away from God. It's meant to have you repent and meant to give you guidance and understanding of things you did wrong and things you need to do right.
So it's not really there to give you an advantage. That's not the intent. And if you're trying to figure out how to use this for your own benefit or for your own gain,
that's
a no.
Yeah, there's two significant areas that I think the conversation should go in. And one is exactly what you're just saying, Bob, where you're using it and your authority to your advantage to opposition and outmaneuver and to outflank and to discourage and to push down the will of others and their being and who they are and what they need to become. It's another thing, and just the opposite of that, before I get to the other point, the opposite of that is obviously lifting them up and encouraging them with forgiveness and understanding, right? So the other component to this issue is how the law is used and that does not give people that hope for God's forgiveness. To where you use it as a stumbling block for their faith, that you would never become and you able to get beyond your sinful nature, right? So, you know, we have that aspect of it in here as well. So I think for us it's an important issue that we understand that we have the structure of the law that's been given to us by God in the commandments, and we are to live that life. It's not to take away our responsibility to hold each other accountable to God's law, but it's to apply that justice to God's law and how we deal with those situations beyond that. Anything coming forward to you in that discussion, Dawn?
No, I want to hear where else you want to go with it.
Well, let me give you some framework to work with, because this may help expand the conversation a little bit. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people, right? Think about that. Think about if you're always seeing as being the one who brings justice with the stick and you're forever taking advantage of the crimes or the sin or the error in judgment or whatever the lapse in the law is, but you're ruling with just the figurative and the physical nature of the stick, right? And how do people want to know you? How would people come to know who you are and understand you? Would they even gravitate towards you, or would they run away from you? So in Deuteronomy, we hear this of how nations take care of people. And although they're a nation of rules, they rule with justice and understanding. And that's where we go to this issue of wisdom. As we see here, a great nation is a wise and understanding of people. And then we see in Paul's letter to the Galatians, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. If the law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. So the issue is, law does not provide a life in Christ. Law gives us a structure to understand God's will, but it's our understanding of Christ that brings us justice in the world, and to use that as a way of managing through. Yes, Don?
I thought what we talked about last week was in Romans, but now we have been released from the law, died to that which we were bound, so that we can serve in newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And now here we're talking about the law is good.
But Paul's letter and he's saying in Romans is absolutely true and consistent with his letter in Timothy here. It may be a kind of sequencing thing in our own minds, but what Paul is getting through is that in Christ we learn of justice, in Christ we learn of forgiveness, in God we see the hope and promise of a future regardless of our sins. Okay, so we have been released, going back to his letter to Paul, we have been released of being held condemned by the law. And now in Timothy, we're hearing also, it's an affirmation that the law is there and it's true, but understanding that you need to move beyond it and you need to be able to look wisely and use it properly, not just use it as that barrier and as that block to people's coming to life in Christ.
I feel a little deep to Dawn.
Okay, well, I think it's consistent, and I think it's a continuation of the same discussion. I think it is applying the knowledge of Christ's forgiveness in us. And you also have to look back in terms of the time frame where things were being written and where Timothy is in this. In a world that was seeing all sorts of issues being put back onto people for their beliefs, right? So you see application of the law being very strict rule as a way of holding down people's beliefs from straying to things that were not consistent with other people's thinking. So we have authorities coming into play to pass their views, their theology, and their application of God's will through the law. And this is the discernment that needs to take place in this discussion. And this is where Paul says into Timothy that it's used properly. So you have to use that discernment. If you're if you're applying the law as a way of keeping down thoughts that are not keeping with what you think they are without discernment of where God wants you to be in that and how God wants you to apply that law, then certainly it becomes abusive and certainly it becomes against the will of God and how we are to treat each other and how we are to deal with each other in forgiveness and in righteousness. Another thought there, Don?
Well, I was just thinking that maybe the fact that in this version of the Bible is saying the law is good if only if one uses it lawfully, and you're saying that maybe lawfully isn't always the best word to have used there. I think that's part of what causes me pain with this, because I think that what he's talking about here is we're not saying that the law is bad. Up in Romans, we're saying we're being released from the law, but it wasn't so much that the laws themselves would be dismissed as much as to say that now we are going to work through the newness of the Spirit, and the letter of the law is not what's to be focused on, but it's God's will.
And I think the same is being said here. I just think it's being said in a very concise way, okay? And I think the issue is affirmation that God provided the law. And since God only provides what is good, the law is good, right? So it's not to pass out the commandments. It's not to throw out the laws of Moses, but it's to affirm those. It's now our application of it, as long as we use it for lawful purposes, meaning the will of God, which was the will of God in the creation of the law, since God gave us those commandments, right? It was God's will, and we also are dealing with God's will for how we apply it, right?
Okay. What else do you want to add?
Well, I want to give you a share a little bit with you back from Gill's exposition of the Bible. And I think this, you know, these two commentaries that I'm going to share with you also bring a better understanding and maybe a broader understanding for all of us in this conversation. If a man uses it lawfully, for it is used in order to obtain life, righteousness, and salvation by works or of it, or by obedience to it, it is used unlawfully. For the law does not give life, nor can righteousness come by it, nor are or can men be saved by the works of it. To use the law for such purposes is to abuse it. So understanding here, you know, just living a life of the law, right, and living a lawful life does not provide for you being a Christian and a faithful servant of God, right? You can live by the law and not have life and righteousness in Christ. So it's also an understanding that you cannot do anything by the law. The law is going to give you a framework of those things you can't do, but it's not going to give you the will of God of those things you should do, right? And I just thought this was a very good way of positioning the whole scope of this discussion on both sides.
I remember a friend that we had met long time ago, 3 moves ago, when we lived in Naperville, and she was trying to live by the letter of the law, and she was struggling because there were folks out there that seemed to be having better lives than her, that seemed like things were going really well for them, and yet here they were trying so hard. And what she had said to me was, they're going to get theirs in the end because I've lived this way and I will get mine.
Isn't that in this verse, in this discussion, exactly, right?
I'm
glad you recalled that and bring that forward because that helps us understand how we see it alive in the world around us, right? This issue of, you know, we live by the law and someone else not, and believing and thinking that, boy, because they aren't, this is going to happen. So because we did, it won't happen to us. Well,
and my reward will be in heaven.
Yeah, well, it's not living by the law, it's living in Christ. And this goes back to the letter of Romans, where it gives us that freedom. We have been freed from the law to live a life of Christ, and that's where Paul is taking that statement.
I think people get confused about what they think their life on earth should be. And they think that if there's a certain way that they live, that somehow their path will be changed. And the reality is that life on earth is messy, and we, by the grace of God, are going to get through it. But the beauty of our faith is that we're not alone in the mess of it.
Right. Right. No, I think that's well said, though. Here's Benson in a commentary that I want to share with you. The design of the Mosaic Law was to direct the conduct of those to whom it was given and to humble them under a sense of their own sin. But it could not be intended to save them by a perfect conformity to it. Right? So this goes back to your conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just the fact of living by the law doesn't give you the saving's grace without full acceptance of Christ being alive and his sacrifice for you. So the law within itself is not going to be your saving's grace. Only Christ alone and your faith in God through Christ is what will give you that salvation that you're seeking or needing or wanting. And this is important for us because so much in church life seems to focus around structure, laws, bylaws, governance, traditions, and history, right? So we want to think about terms of worship and worship being, I don't want to use the term lawful, but let's call it proper worship for taking the word out of there, right? Proper worship looks this way, feels this way, has to have these components, right? So, but it, without, and this is where I go into what my note in the newsletter this week, is without our heart in the game, worship is hollow, right? So we can have worship, we can attend on Sunday, we can follow the structure, go through the Apostles' Creed, go through communion, and have the blessing and all of that being given to us. But without our mind in the game, without our heart in the game, did we really worship, right? So we followed the law. We attended church. We followed the rule of church and its convention and its traditions of worship. We prayed and shared prayer, read the word, sang the hymn, but our hearts were nowhere to be found.
I was thinking about how a lot of my faith journey had been before we started down the track that we're on now, where we're having a lot more conversation and really digging into the word. And I can tell you that I knew which pew I was to sit in, and I would go and I would do my thing, and I would stand when everyone stood and sit when they sat, and then the sermon would come on and I'd make a grocery list. I was not engaged.
Wow, what a confession you brought forward. And I'm sure many of us have all been in that game. I know,
just you know, going through the
we all have. I know I have. It's interesting to say that because, you know, we talk about knowing the books of the Bible often, and you're always looking to clarify and learn. You know, so you always bring forward Old or New Testament or who wrote and time frames and things along that line. But it's interesting when you throw it in such a simple, consolidated statement as knowing your pew, but
yeah,
not being sure about the verse that we're discussing or the verse that this pastor would be using in the sermon, right?
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept. It's an interesting reflection on the truth of our lives right now.
It's important to get engaged.
It is. So, you know, we can take this in a lot of different ways. Well, to finish up our conversation for today, I want to work on, heavy work on this as the weeks go on, is this consideration of the law as it applies to how you view the need to do's in the world today, what you feel you need to do because that's expected of you, that's required of you, you believe that's what the Bible says you should do, or you believe that's what God should do, and understand where your heart is in any of that, and if it is in any of that, and reflect on that. If God is looking for you to adhere to a construct of what the day should look like versus a loving, caring experience throughout the day, which you adjust and modify because of what comes at you, and you have your heart in the game, you know, where's the law in regards to that, right? I will bring it up in terms of this, going back to some of Dawn's example that makes it very simplified, I think, for all of us. If on our way to church we struggle to help somebody we found in need or on the street or through an accident and take care of situations and never showed up for church, where are we relative to the law versus God's will if we stayed there and took care of them, right? And that's where maybe an oversimplification, but I think that's the contrast that needs to be drawn. And not get worried about the nuance here, but start to pull it apart and really extract the fact that God's structure is given to us for a purpose. It's now our application of his will and how we manage that. Yeah.
There are a lot more layers to God's expectations for us on this earth than going through the motions of a praise service. There's, you know, when you think about the words to the song we just listened to, why aren't our arms reaching? If we're to be Christ and Christ is to, wants to work through us on this earth, then we have responsibilities to stop and help someone and not worry about getting to service and knowing that that ritual, in breaking your tradition with that ritual, you have not broken God's law.
Right. And I want to take it to another level since this seems to be an active part of all of our communities, these issues, and that's the issue of drug and drug use and drug rehabilitation. You know, we want to create stricter laws to keep people from going down this path, and we think that's going to be a hindrance for them taking up drugs, you know, to have this onus and this expectation that if you use, you're going to go away for 5 years, 10 years, and all this. And we put these burdens of what could happen to you into this law, right? But what about their ability to rehabilitate and to become giving people back into the community? And how do we nurture in taking care of the fact that, yes, sin and crime may have been committed, but how do we move them forward to be repentant and then to be also in rehabilitation for a life that God still has viability for, that God still wants very much to be part of the community. So just applying more law and strengthening those laws does nothing for justice.
In those instances, it's really that the law is in place to help keep folks that have strayed further away from society. And what do you think Christ wants us to be doing? Putting people in boxes and corners? Or lifting them up and trying to help them.
And this is exactly where Paul is at, I think, in these conversations in Romans and now in Timothy, is the letter of the law does not give life. Life comes from God's presence in the world. Life comes from God's creation and love for us. Life comes from God's forgiveness in us. So it is up to us to understand what to do with that and how to manage the differences. Again, applying law, creating new laws, is not going to satisfy the will of God. What's going to satisfy the will of God is our experience of him within us that drives us to take action for him and to be part of the process of building this community of faith. So hopefully this makes some sense to everybody out there. what seems to be a simple, short verse, very concise statement, I think has a lot of meat to it. I think you have to allow yourself to want to experiment and explore a little bit about the possibilities.
I just think this conversation went a whole lot better than I thought it was going to when I first read that one half a sentence or whatever you gave me to work with yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Dawn. And I think, you know, there is so much wrapped up into this. And there's a lot of different paths you can take. But go ahead and explore this for your life. See whether or not you're living by the law and for the law, or you're living for righteousness and justice. They have similar meaning, but they're not the same. So with that, I think I'm going to leave you for this evening. Before we do that, Dawn just points out a couple of things. There are a couple of people in our lives that we know are going through particular struggles right now. A friend of our son. We just want to lift Abby up right now and to let Abby know that there are people that love her and people that care for her and people that are praying for her and watching to be helpful in her life in any possible way. It is a difficult situation, we know, but we know the Lord's got a plan for you, and we know the Lord's got hope for you. You're not alone. And although things are looking really rough right now and needing to make some decisions in your life and you feel like you're being pushed aside, the Lord's not pushing you aside. The Lord's going to bring into new relationships, new opportunities for you to learn of his love for you. So just hold tight. Watch for opportunities, but look back on that faith formation that took place earlier on in your life and see where you may be able to draw strength. And we just care a lot for you and love you. And there are others out there too, but this one in particular has raised its head, and we just wanted to make sure that we brought forward a moment of prayer for her. With that, I think we're going to leave you with Open the Eyes of My Heart. Mark W. Smith is our tradition. Dawn, anything you want to say before we sign off?
No, I'm good, thank you.
I think we made it through without a problem with our technology.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. So have a blessed week. Look forward to the newsletter, and we hope you enjoy the show and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship at this tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.